This is Fresh Air. We're going to journey back to the days of mono. My guest Ben Vaughan has produced a new album called Mono USA, featuring his versions of some of his favorite but obscure pop records from the 60s. Vaughan plays all the instruments, does the vocals, and of course produced the sessions in mono. The total cost of the sessions, $140. Vaughan is a songwriter, musician, singer, and record producer. He has several albums under his own name and has also produced albums for the Elektra American Explorer series, including Arthur Alexander's comeback album. Vaughan led the band that accompanied Alexander on his Fresh Air concert. We also recently broadcast a Christmas concert featuring the Ben Vaughan combo. Well, here's the opening track of Vaughan's new album, Mono USA, featuring his cover of Link Wray's Cross Ties. Ben Vaughan, welcome to Fresh Air. You play all the parts through overdubbing on this album. Which part do you play first? What's your approach when you're overdubbing?
I usually lay down drums and then bass.
Why start with the drums?
Just to set the tempo of the tune. It's hard to play drums. Actually, there's drum machine on a lot of this stuff. And I would write the program. And then I think this record is kind of a testament to a drum machine not sounding like a drum machine. I would blend it. I did more blending on this record than mixing, which is something modern records really don't have much of, where I like the sound of 60s recordings and 50s recordings because there's a mystery. You really don't exactly know how many instruments are on a record. You can't really count them because they're kind of blending into each other. Sometimes there could be more than one bass on it, acoustic and electric, but you really don't know. And with this stuff, I tried to, with reverb and EQs, blend things so well that you don't even think about how many instruments or whether it's real drums or drum machine.
So you start with the drums and then what?
And then I would lay down probably the main guitar part and then follow that with a bass line and then the rest is just craziness.
A lot of people might be wondering, why bother to make cover recordings? The originals exist. Why do them over again?
Well, I did it. I started doing this at a time when I was becoming disgusted with the music business. I was putting one album out a year and going on tour for about 3 or 4 months to promote it. And then I'd come back, cut another record, go out. And I was kind of in this cycle that I didn't see myself getting out of. And it was all, there's always somebody waiting for the next record, and there was always people ready to comment on it. And I wanted to really get back and remember what it was I liked about music. I wanted to make sure I never forgot what I liked about music. So I would pick a song and just go down in the basement and cut a version of it in about 1 hour's time, all basically first takes. I would mix it and put it in a can and just it was a hobby, just for the sake of music.
So all these were recorded in your home basement studio?
Mm-hmm. And the reason I would do covers to relax is because I didn't feel like I had to convey the song as strongly as I would if I had written it. Because when you write your own songs, you're still wondering if the song could be better because you wrote it and you have control over it. These songs are already written. They're already there, and I already liked them for what they were. So there's no pressure to convey the song as strongly as it would if I had written it.
When you say that you made these so that you never forgot what it is that you loved about music, you mean like the immediacy and no fancy production work, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and just a good song. A good song is a good song, And also, I really wanted to prove to myself that I could work in mono and get depth and color and as much feeling. See, I started out in the music business when 24-track multi-track recording was already state of the art. It was already the way everybody did it. And whenever I would try to do anything in mono or on less than 24 tracks, people would slap my hand and tell me I was out of my mind and that I was very unprofessional. I didn't know what was going on. I was never going to make it in the music business, And I wanted to prove that you can make a great record with an 8-track machine, which actually only 7 tracks on this machine really work. One of them hasn't been working for years. And mix it in mono and have it still hold up next to the records that are out there now.
What do you like about mono?
Well, I like the fact that it's a finished mix no matter where a person is standing in their house. You know, I go to some people's houses and they have one speaker in the kitchen and one in the living room. And if they're listening to a very stereo record, they're only getting half of the picture. And also, of course, the tradition of Brian Wilson and Phil Spector making such great records in mono has always been an inspiration.
My guest is songwriter, musician, and record producer Ben Vaughan. His new album, Mono USA, features his cover recordings of old obscure pop tunes. We'll be back after this break. This is Fresh Air. Musician, songwriter, and record producer Ben Vaughan is with us. His new album is called Mono USA. Let's move on to another record that you cover on your new album, Mono. And this is a song called Sundown, Sundown, performed by Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood. The obvious question, Nancy Sinatra...
That's a question. I'm a big Nancy fan. These Boots Are Made for Walking was one of my favorite records as a kid. And Lee Hazelwood was a great songwriter and producer. He produced all the Duane Eddy records.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, in Phoenix, Arizona. And then he came out to Los Angeles and he did, he also did Dino, Desi, and Billy. So he had like a reputation for doing the Children of the Stars, you know. But he was a great writer, and I like his voice, too. It's very deep. I can almost sing like him. And in this song, actually, I dropped the key a step to make it even lower for my voice.
So was this recorded post These Boots Are Made for Walking?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to tell us how your version compares to the original?
I think mine is more bombastic. It's it's noisier, it's brighter, and the tempo is probably up a little bit on it. I also did not have the luxury of being able to contract a string section.
Right.
So I had to make up for it in other ways.
Like how?
Vibrato guitar, mainly, and some organ.
You know what I'd like to do, Ben? I'd like to play your version first of Sundown, Sundown, and then we'll go to the original that you covered, as performed by Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood.
Okay.
Ben, I think you did good not being able to afford those strings.
Yeah, I think so too. I think what I didn't like about that original version, I really like the song. I think it's a really moody, weird song. You know, you're not exactly sure what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And the duet idea really works as far as her voice coming in as almost like his dream or an angel or something. And I thought it could have been moodier, and the original arrangement had kind of a typical Hollywood kind of string arrangement on it and horns that I thought it would sound creepier and stranger if I took it down to a vibrato guitar and organ and a lot of reverb.
I like your vocal on it very much too.
Oh, thanks.
Who's singing with you?
That's Jezebel from the Friggs. They're a band that I've been producing.
Now, there's another record I want to compare, your version and the original. And I asked you to bring the original of the Billy Joe Royal record that you do here, Dark Glasses, because I really like the arrangement on your version of it. I've never heard the original. And I think in a lot of ways your new record is about arrangements. And I think one of the differences between pop and rock is the emphasis on arrangements.
That's entirely true. You listen to a Coasters song or you listen to something by Gene Pitney or Billy Joe Royal, for example. He was produced by Joe South, and Joe South was a great producer and arranger, but it took him a while to get really good, with Down in the Boondocks was the beginning of it being perfect. And this is early Billy Joe Royal from 1963, where he's trying to sound like Gene Pitney or Clyde McFadder, and Joe South is doing a bass vocal part that makes the song a funny song. Now, when I heard it as not being really a funny song. I thought with a darker arrangement and a more musical arrangement that it could be a serious song.
Why don't we hear the Billy Joe Royal version and your version back to back?
Everything was still all right. Well, I just had to hide all those teardrops that I cried. I wore dark glasses last night. Yes, the life of the party.
I'm not saying this because you're sitting across the table from me, but I really like your version better.
Oh, well, thanks. I like them both. I have to say that I wouldn't have recorded this song if I wasn't in love with the original record. But I just heard a different arrangement, you know, in my head, and I wanted to mess with it and see if maybe the storyline of the song could be told better in a different arrangement. But I like them both a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. I think your new album, Mono, shows off your work as a producer as well as a musician. You've produced other people's records as well. Who are some of the producers, and what are some of the production styles that have influenced you as a producer?
Well, I really like Phil Spector a lot, but that's on a large level of production. That's something that really you couldn't even do anymore anyway, because it's just a different time, different machinery in studios, different tastes in the public. But I really love his production. You've Lost That Loving Feeling, I think, is a masterpiece of a record. I really like Brian Wilson a lot. I also like, Joe South I really like. Games People Play, Down in the Boondocks. The sound he got on those records were really great. I like Lee Hazelwood. Sonny Bono did a great job with the Sonny and Cher stuff. There's probably a million producers. Terry Melcher, who produced the Byrds and Paul Revere and the Raiders, is one of my personal favorites. He was really able to do the ultimate transistor radio mix. That stuff was in mono, and it just sounded so compressed and so great on a radio back then when it came out. And also Dave Clark 5 records, too. They were just explosions of, it was like cannon fire or something when his drums would hit.
Your album Mono came out in parts of Europe before it was released in the States. I think you're becoming very well known in Europe. What kind of following do you have there?
I have a very strange following in Europe. I go over there a lot now. I'm very popular there, and I'm going back for a tour now that's being booked that may never end. I may never come back. I'm not sure. It keeps getting extended into different countries. But Mono came out there in Italy and also in France and became a very popular record. And the fans there are just fans of American music. And for them, I'm kind of the perfect guy right now because I wear it on my sleeve. These are all American songs, by the way, that I covered on this, all American artists.
One last question on your new Mono record, your record of cover recordings. There's a song on here that I do know. It's the only song I know on this whole record. And I'll confess, it's a song I hate.
Really?
Yeah. It's Skip a Rope, the Henson Cargill 1968 hit. This is the only record on the album that actually made it, I think, into the top 40. To me, it's an example of what like bad pop did to the bad message song.
Well, see, I have a soft spot in my heart for message tunes that came out of Nashville because it was a weird place, like Mr. Businessman by Ray Stevens.
Right.
You know, air-conditioned sinuses. There's actually a line in there about air-conditioned sinuses, and I love that because it's Nashville trying to be relevant. And Skip a Rope is a great example of that. But the real reason I cut that was, well, two reasons. One, I used to have a job in a factory where they played country radio all day long, and this would have been in about 73. And for some reason, Skip a Rope, which is already 5 years old as a record, they would play it about 20 times a day on this radio station. And I, for the longest time, thought he was singing Skid Row.
Oh, yeah.
So I had this kind of weird infatuation with this song, and I finally heard the song and found out what the lyrics were about and everything. Yeah, it's kind of hokey, but I really like the line in there, stab him in the back, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, really. It's one of these really shallow songs about hypocrisy.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Well, it's been great fun having you here. I love the album. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, it was great.
I'll listen to the children while they play. Now ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope, stab them in the back, that's the name of the game. And mommy and daddy are who's to blame? Skip a rope.
Ben Vaughan's new album, Mono USA, is on Bar None Records. This is Fresh Air.